satisfaction, and they don't. They take us further and further away from the Word of God. Far from finding satisfaction, we wind up dangerously close to death. Is that you? Restlessly looking for something to bring you stability and security and satisfaction in the wastelands of this world. Are you wandering, chasing mirages, thinking they'll bring you satisfaction if you get them? Well, listen to me. You will never find spiritual satisfaction in material attractions. It's hopeless. It's like trying to find a desert in the trying to find a great city in the Simpson Desert. You find a lot of dust, but you won't find a city. So that's one way that we are wanderers. We lose sight of the Lord Jesus and how precious he is, and we go chasing whatever gizmo that you happen to be into. Second group of prisoners. Some sat in darkness, verse 10, in deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of the Lord and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he had subjected them to bitter labour. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Christians in this category, as I look at it, are caught in sins that they know are wrong and they intentionally do them anyway. This is when we do what we know is wrong. These are the sins that isolate us. That's why they're imprisoned. They lock you up. When you are intentionally doing what you know is wrong, you will be isolated and you will be imprisoned. This is what happens. You get oppressed, don't you? Shameful sins, they separate you from Christians, they isolate you, and you get imprisoned in them. They don't bring you any satisfaction, they lock you up. This is what happened when King David sinned with Bathsheba. Terrible, shameful sin. He tried to bury it. The psalm that describes it says his bones dried out. That's how you experience it when you're a Christian and you are doing what is intentionally unbiblical, what you deliberately rebel against God's word. We all do it. We need to repent. That's the place you end up. Isolation, oppression, imprisonment. That's where deliberate rebellion takes you. When you deliberately rebel against what the Word of God says and you know it. Third group are those that we find in verse 17. They become fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near to the gates of death. Christians in this category are those who aren't wandering away necessarily chasing mirages, nor are they necessarily deliberately rebelling intentionally against the Word of God. These Christians are simply Christians that have gone cold. They've gone cold on the Word of God. The Word of God is food. It is our spiritual food. They avoid it, consider it dry and tasteless, don't see it as food. Spiritually, they see it as boring, and spiritually, they are shriveled up. X-rays, take an X-ray, you can see your bones. I look out across the crowd here, and none of you look anorexic and sick. But what about spiritually? If we could take a photo of your spiritual existence, would it look like, you know, sunken hollow eyes and absolute starvation? They tell me that a crocodile can live for a year without a feed. We can't. But some of us are trying that. We never open our Bibles, we never read, and as a result, our spiritual existence is shriveled up starvation. How do you look spiritually? It's absolute tragedy, isn't it, that the appetite for God's word seems to diminish with the availability of word. Have you got 100 translations in your house? I have. How often do you open it? Some become fools. Surrounded on all sides by so much heavenly food, only to find that they find it tasteless, they loathe it, as the Israelites did with the manna from heaven. Very bad place to be in. There's no hunger, no thirst, there's no hope, you will die, but for God's grace. Final group of the sailors, verse 23. The others went out on the sea in ships, and they were merchants on the mighty waters, and they saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep, for he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Again, just thinking about the parallels for Christians today, I see these as Christians who are actually self-reliant. They are Christians, they're just businessmen, aren't they? They're doing their work, their confidence is in their competence. That's where their confidence lies. It's in their capacity to handle and manage life, ability to plan things. They're not opposed to God. They simply don't need God. They've got it all sorted out. These are people who walk by sight, not by faith. Instead of trusting God's resources, they trust their own. And they'll go as far as they can see the whole picture. Yes, we can do that because I've got the capacity to do that. It's sight walkers, not faith walkers. And the Lord helps us when we do that, because we do that, don't we? We try and manage life to our own capacities. We'll do ministry to our own resources. The Lord sends a storm to bring us to our senses. And you can go from, in this broken world, in a moment, can't you, from healthy to hospital. You can go from riches to rags, from order to chaos. In a moment. Actually, that takes about 10 minutes at our house, just after the kids get home. You can be at the point where you are at your wit's end. It's a good place to be, because when you come to the end of your own resources, then you can start tapping into God's resources. He will do what it takes to get you to the position where you are relying on Him and trusting on Him alone. Have you ever played that game Hot and Cold, or seen children play the game Hot and Cold, where one child hides a treasure somewhere in the house, the other kids don't see it, then they all come out, and the child who hid the treasure is calling out hot and cold, and depending on whether the seekers are close or far from the object. Jesus is the greatest treasure that has been given to us. And if you like, God is willing and able to control our world in such a way that He will drive us to finding Jesus. We go looking this way and that way, we're out in the desert, we're imprisoned in sin, or we're being fools, and God constantly works things to get us back to the Lord Jesus, that safe place, that promised land. He can turn rivers into desert wastelands. He does it all the time. That's the thing that's going to bring me great satisfaction. You get that thing and it brings you no satisfaction. It's a desert wasteland. Come back to Christ. And He'll do so. He will make the things that you are trusting in absolutely futile in order to get you back to the one thing you should be trusting in, who is the Lord Jesus. And as you turn and as you come back, there is nothing but encouragement, is there? Parched lands become flowing springs. See, the circumstances of our life are all different. We've all got different circumstances that we experience, but we all share the same experience. As the four different groups in different situations cry out to the Lord, they have the same experience, don't they? He hears and He answers. Four times it's repeated. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble and He brought them out of their distress. How great is our God? How fantastic is our God that He will not leave us until we find rest in Christ. He will not rest. He will not let you rest until you are resting in Christ. Let the redeemed of the Lord say, how great is our God. He will not rest. He will not let you rest until you rest in Christ alone. Our circumstances are all different. The solution is the same. Life, peace, satisfaction, joy, hope, contentment are all found and fully found only in the Lord Jesus. And we all have equal opportunity to praise Him because of that. So I don't know where you're at. You may be out in the desert chasing some dream. You know, when I'm feeling down, you finish the sentence. Go shopping, that won't work. What did King David do when he was feeling down? He strengthened himself in the Lord. He didn't strengthen himself at the movies. He didn't strengthen himself in self-satisfaction of any sort. He strengthened himself in the Lord. We're to do the same. Let us close by looking and taking to heart the words of verse 43. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. God's love towards us is unchanging. Seen in both the positives and negatives, the way we experience His love is dependent on our relationship with our God. The wise will call to mind God's loving deeds and ponder them. We are broken people who are being mended by our amazing God. We are saved people who are being shaped by the circumstances of life for all eternity. We are redeemed people who are learning to rely on the Lord Jesus alone for life and abundance. Think about these things. Think about the loving actions of God that are shaping you into the person who looks like the Lord Jesus. Because that's what he's doing if you're one of the redeemed. And let us always give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that you rescue us when we wander away, when we imprison ourselves in sin that we know is wrong, when we are foolish and forget to read your word and feed from it. And Lord, you also rescue us from our own self-confidence, assuming that we can run life our way. Thank you that you bring us back time and again to that place of rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to trust you and to keep growing and keep growing in our love for you and for each other, and helping each other, Lord, to come to know Jesus Christ more fully. Amen.